My name is Pastor Ben. I'm the Rockford Campus Pastor here at Life Church. And I appreciate that. That's great. Man, what a voyage Life Church has been on. Amen. Really quick, we are celebrating this week in 12 years of Life Church. Today, 12 years ago today, Life Church started. Pastor Kevin Maria, we're in this little building right over here with 18 people. And little different colored chairs. And I think we have some originals right over here. Some OGs right there. Man, OLs, original lifers. So it's been such an amazing voyage that Life Church has been on. 12 years to see what God has done. And out of those 12 years, I've been here 10. I feel like, man, that's amazing. And I know there's a few who have been here a lot longer. The original 18, Graciela, Pastor Kevin Maria, Cheryl, Lee. And then me. And so right out of college, you know, coming in to a youth pastor position 10 years later, still at the same place. That's unheard of, you know. It just speaks of the people of Life Church. It speaks of Pastor Kevin and what God is doing. Amen. We just a really quick trip down memory lane, the voyage that we've been on. Little building, moving over to the school. How many of you guys remember the school days? You guys, anyone help sit up in the school? Thank God, right? That's over with, right? I mean, if you've never experienced sitting up a whole church in a day, man, it was a whirlwind. But it was amazing, the experience that we had at the school, the moves of God that we've had. We saw so many miracles throughout the last 12 years, and it's just been so awesome. And now God is just continuing to grow and push Life Church out. He's expanding our tents, you know, even building this, the volunteers to build this building. It's been amazing. Our Rockford campus, what God is doing there, the amazing people. Man, it's just such an honor to be part of the voyage, isn't it? It's so amazing to be part of this. So we just are so happy that you guys have been partnering with us on this journey that God has us on with you. Amen. It's so cool. It's so exciting. So today, I feel like I have a word for you, and then the title of the message is The Voyage, and it's more epic than journey, so that's why I picked voyage, right? Because a voyage is like, man, there's peril. It's epic. There could be danger around the corner, right? And that's a movie I want to watch, right? Who wants to watch a movie where it's just like rainbow-puking unicorns and everything? I mean, my girls love those movies right now, and I'm just like, oh, do we have to watch this again? You know, I want to watch some excitement, right? God wants us to be on this voyage with him, not just by ourselves. So if you have your Bibles, why don't you hold them up in the air and repeat this after me. Let's get God's word first place in our hearts and minds this morning. Amen. So let's say this together. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I now choose to open up my heart, my mind to God's word this morning. I'm ready for the voyage. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, why don't you open them up to our first scripture, which is Proverbs 16:9. Woo! Proverbs 16:9. And this is going to kick us off on this little voyage that we're going to take through God's word this morning. Amen. Proverbs 16:9. And it says this: in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord determines their steps. In our hearts, we plan our course. And you know, the course we plan is the easy course, right? Like, well, if I walk this path, it's a straight line, there's no really danger things, you know, it's pretty easy, I don't have to climb up any rocks, any mountains, I don't have to do any work, so I'm gonna go this way, right? But God determines our steps. See, our intentions are right in our hearts because we see the direction we want to go for God, right? But we just want to make it the easy sail, the easy waters, close to the shore, and we don't want to go out to the deep, right? But God determines the directions we go, right? We would go left, but God says, go right. And you're like, what? What? That doesn't make sense. But God's saying, follow me, right? And I've experienced this recently. And it's a pretty awesome experience. Not with, like, God directing me. I just want to have a little fun this morning. Is that okay? So when I was thinking about voyage, you know, we're going to talk about vessels. We're vessels. So we're these ships that carry the presence of God. So I was thinking about back in the day, a long time ago, people, to find their directions, would look at stars, right, to find out the direction they're going in. They would have markers set up, like rocks, pile of rocks. Oh, yeah, my grandpa put this here, so we just got to keep going, right? Even they had... Then they got, like, maps that weren't very accurate, but there were scrolls. And then we have the road atlas. Anybody remember the road atlas? Does anybody use a road atlas? You still use a road atlas? I was like, the technology has come so far where we don't have this huge road atlas that mom has in the passenger seat. And, like, she pulls it out, and it, like, goes right in dad's face. Like, I think we missed an exit. And dad's like, I can't see, right? And you never experienced that before, right? So, I mean, you're trying to plot your course. Now we have GPS, right? Woo! Thank God for GPS. Yes. It's awesome. And we have even something even better than GPS, Google Maps. Woo! Has anybody experienced Google Maps in here? This is an experience that you need to have. Let me tell you a quick testimony of this story. About in May... My brother Nate calls me the night before game four of the Blackhawks and Anaheim Ducks game, right? And he says, hey, you want to go to the game? I'm like, I don't got money to pay. He's like, I'll take care of it. Let's just go. I'm like, yeah, I'll go. Excellent. So in our hearts, we determine our course. We're going to take 90 into Chicago, right? And it's going to be smooth sailing. But how many of you guys know 90 is always under construction? It's a constant thing. You can always count on 90 being under construction, right? Death, taxes, and construction on 90, pretty much. So we start driving, and we realize we're going to be late for this game. And Nate goes, wait, I got Google Maps. So he puts it in, and Google Maps says, take a right here to get off to save 5 minutes. We're like, yeah, we want to save 5 minutes because we want to get there on time to see that puck drop, right? Because it's an awesome experience. It's amazing. And so we go off the highway, we make a right, we're traveling. I have no idea where we are, but I'm just following Google Maps. And then Google Maps says, hey, take a left here to save another 5 minutes. We're like, yeah, let's take it. So we go that way. And I feel like we're zigzagging, like back and forth, right? And then it's saying, make a right here. I'm like, but the United Center is that way. Why are we going south, right? So we're going south. It says you can save 15 minutes by taking this road. We're like, let's do it. And then all of a sudden, we're like on the south side of Rockford or on the south side of Chicago. And we're like, I don't know if we're in the right neighborhood here. Google Maps said so. So we're going to keep chucking through it, right? And then we finally get to United Center. We get there 30 minutes early. Thank you, Google Maps, right? It's an amazing experience, right? And I'm just saying that's how maybe our journey with God is sometimes. I'm not saying God's Google Maps, all right? I think God created Google Maps. I think it was a God idea because it's excellent, right? Because what it did, it saved us time. It wouldn't be in the direction we would have went, right? It didn't make sense to go that way. But Google Maps is in the atmosphere. And it can see accidents. It can see traffic jams, right? And there's other apps out there that will tell you, hey, there's a police officer like a mile ahead. You're like, thank you very much, you know, right? So technology is amazing. And God is greater than Google Maps. So when God says, hey, Louie, right, you could be like, hey, it's cool because I know I'm going to get there faster and sooner. It might not be the direction that I'm going to go. I might need to go through some different areas that I didn't think I would ever want to go in, right? But we're going to get through it and you're going to get to the place you need to go. Amen? Amen. So, God determines our steps. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. It's in the Old Testament. Jeremiah 29:11 is a famous scripture. Everyone uses it at like graduations and moving stuff. And everyone's like, I got a scripture for you, right? And they say this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you. This is God, declares the Lord. God is declaring plans over you. Amen? Amen. And he goes on to say, these plans are to prosper you. Everybody said, yeah.
Yeah.
Prosper. Woo. Yeah. That means it's going to be awesome. God's plans are awesome for my life. And he goes on to say, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And everyone's like, yeah, that's great. I've got prosperous plans. They're going to give me hope and a future. But everyone just kind of just skims past the not to harm you. So I was like, wait a minute. What? Did I read that right? Wait, not to harm me? So what is God saying? God has plans. They're going to prosper us. But sometimes the plan's not going to look like it's prospering you. Sometimes it's going to look like, this is not helping me, God, right? This is not the path I want to go. I'm on a really high cliff right now, and I can see down really far, and I'm kind of nervous, scared. I don't want to go this direction, but God says what? His plans are not to harm us. Although we wouldn't have taken that path, we wouldn't have gone that direction, we wouldn't have stepped out. That's just like with offerings sometimes, right? You're like, God, I need this money to pay this. But God says, trust me, right? I'm not going to harm you through this. I'm going to get you through this. Amen? So sometimes God's plan is not the way you're going to go, right? It could look like it's going to harm you, but it's not going to harm you, right? You're going to get through it because it's going to prosper you on the other side. It's going to give you a hope and a future. Amen? And all of us have experienced this in life. You're like, God, what are you doing? Right? I've been serving you. I've been trusting in you. I've been doing things as best I can to do things right. So why am I going through this? Your word says, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. Prosper me. I'm not prospering. But we forget it says not to harm us. So sometimes we feel like we're being harmed by God's plan, but it's to get us through where he wants us to go, to come on the other end. Amen? God's mind and his plans are always bigger than what we are thinking. Do you know that?
Yes.
We're thinking something small. God's thinking something big.
Right.
Amen? And there's a story in the Bible that kind of illustrates this for me. And it's found in Daniel chapter 3. And it's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody know this story? Anybody remember this story? This is an excellent story. So it's exciting. It's one of those movies where it's like you're on the edge of your seat. What's going to happen? Right? It's not one of these things, there's butterflies, you know, rainbows, unicorns, and right? But no, it's peril, and we see how God is coming through and providing. So, Daniel chapter 3, verse 13 is where we're going to start, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a backstory to this story. So, Israel, the Hebrew people, were in rebellion against God, and the Babylonian people were conquered Israel. And King Nebuchadnezzar is a king in reign of the Babylonian Empire. And he has this idea. He's like, hey, I want all the smartest, coolest looking people. I want them serving my court from Israel. So he grabbed some of the sharpest, the smartest, the wisest people from Israel, the Hebrew boys, and brought them to his court to serve. And this is where Daniel and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are serving the court of the high king. And then all of a sudden, they're doing things right, right? They're not wanting to break God's law. They're still being faithful to where they're at. And then all of a sudden, King Nebuchadnezzar has this brilliant idea, right? A little crazy, if you ask me. He's like, I'm going to build this golden statue of me because I'm awesome. And everybody is going to bow down and worship this statue, right? So this huge golden statue, and they're going to have a big party. And when they play the music, probably the band Aerosmith was about to play or something like that. And it's like, when they play, you bow down and worship me. And we find ourselves at chapter 3, verse 13. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. They refused to take a knee. They refused to surrender to this thing. So King Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought to him. And when they were brought to him, King Nebuchadnezzar said, is this true? You refuse to serve my gods and worship the golden statue that I've set up? And I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made. And when you hear the sound of the music and instruments, but if you refuse, I will throw you immediately into a blazing furnace. And what God will be able to rescue you from my power? So you see, King Nebi, as I call him, you know, just to save some time. He just has a super ego, you know, everybody needs to worship me and stuff like that. But they know God's word, they know they're going to refuse. And so what the enemy does, what the devil does is try to intimidate you and say, I'm going to make you go through the wringer if you don't bow your knee, right? That's what he's saying. And they even say, what God is going to save you? Sometimes we're going through stuff and we're sick and we're in front of a situation that feels uncomfortable and we're like, I'm not going to do that. And the devil likes to bring the heat and likes to play mind games with you because King Nebuchadnezzar said, what God's going to save you from my fiery furnace? Now watch their response. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. For if you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve will be able to save us. And he will rescue us from your power, your majesty, all polite and stuff, right? But even if he doesn't, so you got to see where their faith is, right? Their confidence is. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it very clear to you, your majesty, we will never serve your gods or worship your golden statue you've set up, right? So when the enemy turns up the heat a little bit to get you under pressure, to get you nervous and everything, you just know who you are in Christ Jesus, right? You know the God that's backing you up, amen? And it goes on, King Nebi didn't like this, right? He was furious. So he was so furious, he commanded the furnace to be turned up 7 times hotter, right? When you resist to bow your knee, the enemy likes to turn the heat up even hotter. Yeah? Have you guys experienced it before? Yeah, he likes just to try to lay it on you and really intimidate you, right? Then he ordered some of the strongest men from the army to bind the 3 Hebrew boys and throw them into the furnace. So they tied them up, and they went to the furnace to throw them in, and fully clothed and everything. And then you notice that the flame was so hot, the soldiers that went to throw them in, they were killed by the fire. Crazy hot. Everybody say hot. Hot. And so they tied up, secured into the fire and the roaring flames. But suddenly, everyone say, but suddenly. Suddenly. When you go through a fire, there's always a suddenly. Right? Amen. So King Nebi and all of his ego, he jumps up. He says, didn't we throw 3 guys in that fire? And they're walking around in the fire. Said, yes, Majesty, we certainly did. And he says, look, I see 4 unbound, walking around, unharmed. And the 4th looks like the Son of God. Do you know whatever fire you go through, the Son of God is in that fire? Man, your voyage, you're going through troubles, and you're going through testing of fire. Guess who is always walking with you in the fire? Jesus. Man, I'm so happy for Jesus. Every time you look at the disciples getting into trouble on the ocean in their boat, guess who's right there? Jesus. So great. And so Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, King Nebuchadnezzar calls them to come out of there. He says, for you serve the Most High God. And so they came over. They checked them out. They're checking them out in amazement. You know, though, I don't even know if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego saw Jesus in the fire. It doesn't say that they saw him in the fire. It says that King Nebuchadnezzar saw him. The officials saw him. Everyone else saw him. Sometimes everyone else can see Jesus through your fire, but sometimes we can't see him, right? But you just need to know that he's there in that fire, walking through it. And check it out. Check out what happens. Then high officials look at him, the crowd around him, and they saw that the fire did not touch them. Did not even singe a hair on their head. Nothing on their clothes were burned. They didn't even smell like smoke. I'll just let the Bible teach you, you know? That's what I do. The devil wants to harm you through the fire, but God will use the fire to burn up what binds you. All that was burned off Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was what bound them. What a powerful picture. The devil's saying, I'm going to turn up the heat on you, and I'm going to make you pay, and you're going to go through trouble, and you're going to be burned. And God says, they're not even going to be touched. The only thing that is going to be burned is the things that bind you. Amen. What? This journey you're on may go through fire, may go through floods, it may go through storms, but it will not touch you. All that will happen is that you will be free. What the enemy tries to get you down, get you burned up, get you quit, it's just going to make you a better person. That's awesome, right? Yes. You know, gold is one of the most precious metals that we have in this world, right? And you got to dig down for that precious metal. God is digging down deep for you. But when that gold is found, it has to be purified, right? Because there's imperfections, there's impurities in that gold. And what it does, it goes through a purifying process. It's heated at a high temperature. And what happens is all the impurities rise to the top of the gold. And then the worker comes and wipes the impurities away. And then it's pure gold. So it has to go through the fire to become pure. And once it's purified, you know the best conductor of electricity is gold. There's no impurities in it. When we're purified through the fire, although the devil wants to intimidate you, try to hurt you, God will use that to purify you, to make you free so that you can connect and you can conduct that power. Yes. Amen. Amen. It has nothing to do with you. It has God purifying you. You can't purify yourself. He purifies you. This is the voyage we're on. Amen. Amen. He's in the fire with us. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is Paul talking about vessels. We're on a voyage, so I had the idea, it was like we're vessels, right? He talks about we're jars of clay. We're vessels. So me and Nate, we went to Lake Michigan. We went on a sailboat, and we went sailing, and it was pretty cool. I let out the jib, you know. I know all the lingo now. I'm pretty much a pro after 2 hours on a sailboat. I could probably take you sailing right now. And not that you would want to. But we had a fun time just learning about the sailboat, the jib, the mainsail, you know, and all this stuff. And so I have a little analogy we're going to go to after I read this. But we are vessels. We're ships carrying this presence. And this is what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile jars of containing this great treasure, or vessels. Other translations say vessels. And it makes it very clear that our great power is from God, not ourselves. It's always God working in us. It's nothing that you can earn. It's always a gift. Amen. Although we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. So Paul's saying, you know, we have this special thing that God's given us, this light. And sometimes the voyage, we may be pressed through a voyage, right? But you're not crushed. He says, we are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. Isn't that awesome? And every parent holds on to this scripture that has small kids. Because sometimes I'm like, God, I'm being beaten down right now. You know, these kids are just driving me crazy, right? I love them to death, but if someone can make some type of invention that bathes the children, that clothes the children, and brushes the teeth of the children, and even feeds them, that'd be nice too. Because it's hard. And I'm watching Ginger do it all, you know? I'm like, man. And I just hold on to this scripture, you know? I'm pressed. Ginger, I'm praying for you. Right? And anyone with small kids or has small kids know what I'm talking about. It is a process. It's tiring. It's like, please, just brush your teeth. Say, ah. And Kenny's like, no. Lifts up her shirt, just hits her tummy. My kidney, please. We don't want you to have cavities, okay? You got to have a pretty smile. And then it's a battle every day to get out the door, to get to church, right? Thank God that we are not abandoned by him, right? That's what I hold on to. Sorry, I have to have some fun once in a while, okay? I just do. But sometimes Paul is saying this because sometimes we feel like we're being pressured. Sometimes we're feeling like, God, where are you, right? And the scripture reminds us that we're not abandoned, right? That we may go through troubles. We may feel pressed, but we're going to come on the other end. The Bible also says that consider it pure joy when trials and troubles come, because that means you're doing something and the devil notices it, right? So keep pushing through. And I'm going to jump down to verse 15. All of this is for your benefit. As God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be a great Thanksgiving. God's grace is going out. What's going out to reaching more people? His grace, right? His grace. There will be great Thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. Every time you go through, every time you push past that trouble, that hardship, God gets the glory. Amen? Amen. That is why we never give up. Everyone say, never give up. Never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. Amen? It's your spirit that goes on. It's your spirit that gives you the will to go on. Amen? It's being renewed every day. And he goes on to say, for our present troubles are small, and they won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Your troubles are small, and the glory that comes through that will last forever. Outweighs the trouble that we live in today. So when things don't go your way and you're ready to give up and throw in the towel, like, it's not going to last very long. So we don't look at the troubles we now see. Stop looking at the trouble you now see. And God says, Paul says, rather we fix our gaze on the things we cannot see. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will be forever. Awesome. Awesome. So breaking down this voyage, our vessels, that's us. I'm going to relate it to a boat, a little illustration that you are a boat, okay? You're a boat ready to be used by God. And the most important thing for a vessel is to have a steering wheel, a captain's wheel, right? Because you got to steer. So what is steering your wheel? What is driving, what is turning your wheel? It better be God's word. Let God's word be the captain and take hold of that wheel, amen? And you know what God's word is? Jesus. 1 John says, in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the word became flesh, and that is Jesus. You know, when we ask Jesus to be Lord of our lives, we ask him into our hearts, right? And we let him guide. The word of God lives in us, right? So Jesus lives in us. He's the word. It better be the word steering you, right? Because like we said before, we would just probably hang out in the harbor and party and have fun, right? Or take the short path close to the shore. But we let the word drive our ship. Amen? Amen? Let God's word drive your ship. And what the wheel is connected to is called the rudder, right? These two are key components for your vessel, is the rudder. Really, the wheel turns the rudder, and the rudder makes the boat go in the direction it wants to go. So your rudder is this, your words. Your words. Your words better line up with God's word. Right? If your words don't line up with God's word, it's going to be all out of whack, and you're just going to be going around in a circle, right? Our words are powerful. They're effective. The Bible says in James that our tongue is like a rudder, right? It's very small, but it makes boastful things. And just like a rudder on a large ship makes it turn the direction, right? Your words can make your vessel turn in directions where you don't want to go, right? So let your words line up with God. And out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So if Jesus is Lord in your heart, God's word, then your word's going to line up with the word. Amen? Amen. And the Bible says in Proverbs 4, you can look it up later, 23, it says, all the issues, guard your heart, because all the issues of life flow out of the heart, and that determines its course, right? So you guard your heart by letting the word in there, and you guard it by the words you're saying. Amen? Yeah. Amen. The next thing on a voyage that you would have on a vessel is a compass, right? You wouldn't want to go without a compass. And a compass is this, it's your beliefs. What are you believing? You may believe in Bigfoot, I don't know, Sasquatch, he could be real. All right, we can believe in all kinds of things, right? But we need to believe the truth, right? Got to believe the truth. Believe what God's word says about you. You back that up with your words you're saying. And it's your beliefs that hone you, that point you due north. Compass always points, right, to the north, so you know where you are. Your beliefs point you, right? When maybe you get lost, you get tipsy, you get vertigo or something like that, right? You have your beliefs to hold you true, right? Your beliefs. So what are you believing? What do you believe about yourself? You better be believing what God says about you, right? You need to align that your beliefs with what God says about you. You're not just a stupid little sinner, right? No, but you are son. You are daughter of the Most High God, right? And when you start believing, it's one thing knowing that, but it's another thing believing that, right? Right? Because when you get into these troubles, you better know that I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And that's what's going to get us through it, right? When Jesus went out to the wilderness, you know, the very first thing before he did any miracle or did anything to earn God's love, this is what God said. He opened up the heavens and says, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased. Amen. Right? Then he went to the wilderness and he got tempted by the devil. But he went believing who he was. When you know who you are, no temptation, no thing will ever get you off course, right? Just like Jesus went there. And what the devil does, he tries to trick you. He uses his word and twisted it, right? And he goes to Jesus and says, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. So he's questioning the thing, but he drops one word, is this, beloved. When you know you're beloved by God, when you know he loves you, you're not trying to perform for him. You're not trying to attain anything. You just walk and abide in his love. Man, you will go through every rocky water, every temptation. That's how Jesus did it. He knew who he was. He believed he was. Amen. You need to believe who you are, your beliefs. Next thing is the sails. Sails are pretty important, right? Without the sail, you're not going to go anywhere, right? The sails represent this, the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit move you into the direction, not your feelings. So many of us let our feelings determine our course. Well, I don't feel like that, right? And we don't even rely on the Holy Spirit. When we let our feelings rule, we will never make the right or good decision. But when we let the Holy Spirit lead us, let those winds push us, we will go deep into the waters. Right? Because our feelings are like, I'm going to stay close. But the Holy Spirit wants to go get us deeper. Because your provision is deeper. Amen? It's not on shore. It's not where it's safe. Because he wants you relying on him. Not earning it. With your own talents and abilities. When we get on board with our feelings, they will lead us in the wrong direction. Don't get on board with your feelings. Get on board with Christ. On board with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Next thing on a voyage that you would have on a vessel, a ship, is an eyeglass, a telescope or whatever, because you got to keep your eyes on the horizon. Just like Paul was saying, right, that we fix our eyes on what we cannot see. That's what the eyeglass does. It gets us on the horizon, and this represents this, a vision for your life. You got to look through that. Vision where you're going. And that's as simple as this. It's a goal. God has given you desires and he has goals set up for you. And those are the things that make us gaze farther ahead. Amen? Amen. People perish for the lack of knowledge, right? So you have a vision, right? Write the vision down. Make it plain, right? You write it down. Make it plain. Every time you get up in the morning, this is what I'm doing today, right? Because if you don't make a goal, if you don't know if you're winning or not. God wants you to know that you're winning, right? He has given you vision. He has given you goals because he has so many things to prosper you with, right? So you keep your eye on that. Amen. The last one is an anchor, and a lot of people will use it as a positive. I'm going to use it as a negative because a ship that's anchored is not moving, right? There's things that anchor us from keeping us going to the deep. Fear, relationships. It could be all kinds of things that keep us anchored, to keep us at port, to keep us harbored. And I love this quote by Albert Einstein. It's one of my favorites just because it just works with it. And it says this: a ship or a vessel is always safe at its shores or anchored or docked. But that is not what it was designed for. It was designed to sail, right? You will all, if you let relationship keep you from doing what God wants you to do, you let fear keep you, you're never going to go and prosper where God has you because the prosperity is deeper waters. Amen? Amen. So I want to close today just with the story of Peter's voyage. Can I just walk through Peter's life? You know, the Bible gives us these accounts so that we can be encouraged by them. And Peter is a disciple of Jesus, one of the first disciples. And it's an awesome story to see his voyage. Although he made mistakes, that's what I wanted you to show you, is that God saw something awesome in Peter. Although he was imperfect and he messed up, he didn't do everything right, but God never gave up on him. Amen? Amen. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 5. Everyone say Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. I got it here somewhere. I'm going to start going pretty quick with these scriptures. So if you just want to write them down and look at them later, that's totally fine. And this is really going to encourage you. It's really going to speak to you. I really believe that. Because Peter did amazing things. So this is what it says. In Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1, it says, one day Jesus was preaching on the shores of Galilee. The crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats. Everybody say two empty boats. On the edge of the water. The fishermen had left him there because they were washing their nets. He stepped into one of the boats and he asked Simon, which is Peter, its owner, to push him into the water. Stop and notice that. Two boats, right? And Jesus picks Peter's boat, right? Yeah. Whose boat? There's two boats. He could have picked either one. He picked Peter's boat. That's good. Guess who's already in your boat? Jesus. Yeah. Did Peter do anything to get Jesus in his boat? No. Did Peter say, hey, Jesus, use my boat. Come in my boat, right? No, Jesus stepped into Peter's boat. He chooses us. You are here today because Jesus stepped into your boat. Amen. You didn't earn it, right? It's his love, and you need to know that he is on board. He's on your vessel with you, right? And it goes on to say this. So he sat in the boat, talked to the crowds. When they were finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out there where it's deeper and let down your nets and catch some fish. I'm just showing you Peter's attitude, right? So you kind of know when we have bad attitudes, there's still God's grace, thank God, right? So Simon replied to Jesus, we worked hard all night, all day. We didn't catch a thing, buddy, right? You see his attitude. But if you say so, we'll go let down a net. He didn't even fully even come in alignment or agreement with Jesus. Jesus said, go let down your nets. And he's like, all right, I feel really annoyed right now. I'll go let down a net, right? So they went out to where it's deeper. And their time, they let down their net. And they began to just fill with fish, right? It became full of fish and it began to tear. They shouted out for their partners and other boats to come and help to fill their boats because their vessel was sinking. When Simon Peter realized what happened, he fell at the knees of Jesus and said, Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. for he was awestruck about the number of fish they caught. First encounter with Jesus. You got to see this, guys, that he's in your boat. And even when sometimes we have a bad attitude about doing what he tells us to do, we don't do it fully, he still blesses us. What brought Peter to repentance? Did Jesus say, hey, I told you to let down all your nets, right? No, but he just blessed him. It's God's kindness, it's goodness that leads us to repentance. This is where the start of the voyage happens. It's God's blessing that came upon Peter, right? That filled his boat, his vessel with fish. So much so, he was in awestruck. That's what we experience in life, right? So this journey, this is his first voyage beginning. So the next one is Peter declares who Jesus is, right? He gets a revelation who Jesus is, and that's found in Matthew chapter 16. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 16. And you can just write it down like I was saying before. And so Jesus is asking his disciples, hey, who do people say I am? You know, what do they think about me? And then Peter responded to this. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and says, you are blessed, Simon, for you yourself did not learn this from a human mindset, right? You didn't come up with this idea by yourself, but God revealed it to you. And then Jesus speaks to him and says, Peter, which means rock, upon this rock I will build my church, and the powers of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be permitted in heaven and earth. And so Jesus is just speaking to Peter his life, this voyage, right? And he's feeling pretty proud about himself, as anybody would, right? I mean, Jesus is complimenting him. And then not even a breath later, right? Peter sticks his foot in his mouth because Jesus starts talking about dying for the sins of the world. And then Peter feeling awesome and good because he totally forgot that Jesus said it came from God, your wisdom. You didn't come up with it yourself. But he feels like, man, I can do it. I'm awesome. I'm the rock, right? I can do all this stuff. And then Peter took Jesus aside, it says, and he rebuked Jesus and said, don't say such things. I forbid you to say that. And then Jesus turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. Like the same spot. How many of you guys are like, man, that was a kick in the guts, right? You're feeling like all awesome and all great. I'm this rock, man. God's going to use me. And then you're like, you feel so bold. You're going to talk to Jesus. Man, I rebuke you for saying that. And then he's like, you don't know. Your plans are small, Peter, right? God has bigger plans. All right, so moving on, Jesus predicts Peter's denial, which is found in Luke chapter 22. So if you have your Bibles, or you just write it down, Luke chapter 22. And this is so interesting. You got to know this because Peter is such a pillar of beginning the church. He's that rock. And you got to see, he wasn't perfect, right? You got to see this. We're all on this vessel. We're all on this voyage, and we don't do everything perfect, but God's going to get you. You just stay faithful and trust in him, and he's going to get you where you want to go. So this is Last Supper. We see Simon is there. He's hanging out. Peter's there, and Jesus says to Peter, says, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith would not fail, so that you, when you repent and turn back to me again, you can strengthen your brothers. Stop right there. I would be freaked out if Jesus told me Satan wanted to sift me, right? I mean, man, that's freaky in itself. But I always thought it was interesting that Jesus prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. He didn't pray that he wouldn't fail, right? He didn't say, I pray that you wouldn't deny me three times, right? He just said, I pray that your faith wouldn't fail. It's interesting, isn't it? You got to have that faith that keeps you going, right? Amen. And then watch Peter's response, right? He says, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison. I'm even ready to die for you, right? And then, but Jesus says, I tell you the truth, Peter, before the rooster crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times, right? So Peter is boasting about how much he will do for Jesus. He's boasting about how he's committed to the end, right? And if Pastor Norma or Bev or Evan or Pastor Kevin came to me and says, hey, the devil wants to sift you, right? I want to be like Peter. I'm like, bring it on. How many of you guys would be like, bring it on? No, you'd be freaked out. Right? So you got to, this shows you where Peter is. He's all about him serving Jesus. It's all about what he can do for Jesus. He doesn't get that it's not about what he can do. It's about what Jesus is going to do for him. Right? So Jesus is saying, I pray that your faith doesn't fail. When you mess up, don't let your faith fail. You speak righteousness into your life. Amen? Amen. So going on, he's not going to do it. He gets around the campfire. You know the story. Everyone say, hey, you look really familiar. He's like, no, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. Right? Three times around this fire, he denies Jesus. And then the rooster crowed. In that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the words flashed through his mind. So Jesus looked at him. Do you think that was a look of judgment? Do you think that was a look of disappointment? Or, I told you so, Peter? I believe it was a look of love. Because he already had a conversation with them saying, hey, I prayed for you. Don't let your faith fail. That was a look. You're going to get through this. You're going to get through this. We serve such a good God. Amen. Through life's journey, when we screw up, when we make mistakes, Jesus is there saying, I pray your faith doesn't fail. Amen. 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 So moving on into Mark, the resurrection happens. Jesus is resurrected. And then he tells the ladies that find him, he says, go tell Peter and the other disciples that I'm alive, right? Or the angel tells him that. Because Peter is on Jesus' mind, right? Right? When we fail, we're on Jesus' mind, right? He wants to help us. He wants to reestablish us. And he does this in John chapter 21. And this is such a great story. We're in with this last part of Peter's journey. So after all of this, Jesus is already resurrected. And so Peter says to his boys, hey, let's go fishing. Let's go back to what we know, right? So he goes fishing. And they're fishing all day. They don't catch anything. And then they see this figure, this man from shore, standing there on the beach, shouting out. He called, have you caught any fish? They replied, no. Then he said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because of all the fish. So Jesus is bringing back to Peter to where he first encountered him. His blessing. Amen. When you fail, you mess up, Jesus is always going to bring you back to show him your love and blessing. Amen? And then John, the beloved, shouted out, it's Jesus. And then Peter, realizing it's Jesus, jumps into the lake to swim to him. Now, if you just denied someone three times and you just really, really messed up, would you jump into the water to swim towards them? No, you'd kind of wait, kind of sit in the back. That's because Jesus prayed his faith wouldn't fail, right? And he brought him back to that place. So you just jump and run to Jesus, amen? And you see Jesus' heart. He said, bring some fish. I'm going to make you breakfast. Jesus is always serving. He's always serving us. Right? He wants to make sure you have breakfast, food, the word of God in your life, right? He's always going to bring that word to you to encourage you. And he brings him around this fire. He brings Peter back around the fire where he denied him three times, right? So he's setting this up to renew Peter. And he says this to him. He says, Simon, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, you know I love you, right? Because he just was hurt by denying him. You know I love you. And he says this, feed my lambs. And he asks him again, Simon, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, you know I love you. Jesus, take care of my sheep. And he asks him a third time, do you love me? Peter's hurt. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three. How many times is Jesus asking if you love him? Three. And the second one is like, Peter realizes, God, you know everything. You know everything, Jesus. You know everything, right? And finally, Peter's at this place knowing that he just needs to abide in Jesus' love. In this journey, you just abide. You let Jesus on your vessel, and you let him steer your ship. right? And he renews them. And he says, take care of my sheep. And then later on, the first salvation message. Guess who's there preaching bold in front of everybody? Peter. Jesus didn't give up on Peter. Amen. All of us would have given up on Peter a long time ago. We were like, hey, dude, see you later, man. I mean, this has been real. It's been cool. I know I said you're the rock, but I think it might be someone else, right? But he didn't give up on him. Amen? John and Peter are two versions of Christians. One is boasting about their love for God. The other one is boasting about God's love for them. The one that boasted about their love for God would go to the end, wasn't there at the cross. Wasn't there to abandon Jesus. The one that boasted about God's love for him was there all the way through.
Come on, that's good.
Amen. Amen. I get piano player up here to play. I hope you enjoyed that message this morning. You just need to be encouraged that on your voyage, to lift up that anchor and start soaring to deeper waters. That's where God's provision for your life is. It's not along the shore, just hopping island to island, but it's going deep and letting the Holy Spirit lead you out there. Boast about God's love for you. Yes, I love God, but my love is imperfect. It's fallen. It's human, right? But his love for me gets me through every circumstance. Amen. Why don't you stand with me as we close today? Just bow your heads, close your eyes. I just want to pray for you guys in this place because we're all on a voyage. We're all going through fire. We're all going through storms. We're all going through something. And you just need to know who you are. And on this voyage, you're going to make it. If you let the Holy Spirit, you let Jesus, you let your words line up. If you take up anchor, you will prosper. Amen. Father, I thank you so much for my friends here. And I speak to their voyage right now in Jesus' name, that they take up anchor. They take up fear. They take up even relationships that are holding them at port, God. And we take that anchor up and we begin to set sail. God, I thank you, God, that you determine our steps. God, we have the direction in our hearts, God, and we have a path that we want to take, but you have a path we want to take. So, Father, I thank you that my friends here, God, on this voyage, they do not give up, they do not lose hope, but they know that they're being refined, and those chains and those things that bind them, God, are being burnt off them. God, they're being purified by you to be an amazing, great, and holy people. God, you love them so much. God, I pray they boast about how much you love them. God, you showed your love to them. I thank you so much for them. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we dismiss this morning, we always want to give an opportunity for people to get their life right with Jesus. Amen. If that's you today, would you repeat a prayer with me? With every head bowed, every eyes closed, no one looking around. If you need Jesus to be captain of your vessel, you see, you're here not by mistake. He's already in your boat. He's just waiting for you to let go of the wheel so he could lead you. And he's going to prosper you. He's going to get you through every hard time. So if you're here and you need Jesus to be Lord of your life, just put a hand up. Say, that's me. I need to let the will go. I need to give the will to him. If that's you, just put a hand up. I see that hand. I see that hand. Man, this is awesome. All heaven rejoices when one comes to repentance knowing who Jesus is. Amen? Amen. He loves you so much. He does. Let's pray this together, everybody with me, so those who raise their hands know they're not by themselves. Amen. Say this, Jesus, I repent of my sins. I make you Lord in my life. Thank you for saving me. Holy Spirit, lead me, guide me. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Amen. You prayed that prayer today. We believe that you're on your way to heaven, right? You're on the right path. We're so excited that you came today. You made that this choice. There's at this wood wall, there'll be some people there that would love to get a chance to talk with you, give you a Bible and all that stuff like that. If I get the altar team forward here, if you need prayer for anything today, if you need someone to come in agreement with you, stand with you, believe with you, this is the place to do it. Amen. We love you guys. Bless you. Have an awesome week. And you guys just take it easy and let God help you sail to deeper waters. Amen. God bless you.